Luke chapter number 10 and verse 38, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we come, Lord, realizing, Lord, our inability, and Lord, that you have all the ability. Lord, we pray, God, that you would open up our hearts tonight. Lord, that you would wipe away every distraction. And Lord, that you would meet with us and speak to us tonight. Lord, we need what you have to say. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would, Lord, speak to hearts as only you can. Father, if there's somebody here tonight, Lord, and they've never been born again, Lord, I pray that you would deal with that heart, Lord, as only you can. And Lord, I pray, I need you to help me to preach tonight, Father. Lord, I cannot do it without you. Lord, please use me for the next few minutes, Lord, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a short story, but it's got a significant meaning. You can break this small portion of Scripture into really four parts. You can look at the home of Martha. The Bible said that Jesus and his disciples, that they were leaving a place, Jerusalem. They were leaving a feast. And as they were going to another place, they stopped by Bethany at the home of their friend Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And Jesus was in between battles. And Jesus was at the beginning of a storm that was about to brew, because at this point in time, this was in December. And when he would come back to Jerusalem in the spring, that's when he'd come and he'd lay down his life for you and for me. And so he went there to meet with his friends. And aren't you glad for friends? People that you can be a blessing to and that you can receive a blessing. It's a mutual thing. And so when he got there, Martha received him into her house. She welcomed him. And it seems like Martha just started and got busy serving everybody that was there. She was doing a good work. She was doing a good thing. But somehow, some way, in the midst of what she was doing, she got a wrong spirit about her. We don't know exactly, specifically what it was. Jesus pointed it out to her, and he said, Martha, he said, you got care, you're troubled, you're anxious because of many things. There might have been something on Martha's heart before they even showed up, and it just compounded on top of things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You can handle this thing, and this thing, and this thing, but when they keep piling up, then you start getting cumbered about. That word cumber means to drag along or to drag around mentally. And that's what that work began to be with Martha. It was cumbering her down. And as I was studying that, I thought about an instance. I was working at the Y, and there was a black guy that was there, and he and I became pretty good friends. And I was going here and there and everywhere cleaning, and I was real busy. And he stopped me and he said, Chris, come over here for a minute. And I said, what's going on? And he said, listen, I'm going to give you some advice. He said, you're letting the work you. You need to stop and work the work. And I think that's what was happening with Martha. She was letting the work take control. It was working her instead of her doing the work. And so in this bad spirit she had, instead of looking within and examining herself, she did what so many of us do sometimes. She started examining her sister. I think about the prophet Elijah. He was doing a good work. And then he got burdened and he got some bad news and then he got down and he got the wrong spirit and he said to the Lord, I'm the only one that's doing anything. And Jesus said, no, you're not. There's 7,000 that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. And so she started looking at what she was doing, but then Martha got help. And it kind of came about in a strange way because she finally looked to Jesus for help. Now, she didn't necessarily go about it the right way. She was almost making a demand. She said, Jesus, will you make her help me? Look at her. Look what I'm doing. Will you make her help me? She was basically saying, Lord, would you please help her to get in on what I'm doing? And Jesus said, no, Martha, Martha, look at me. Stop just a second. Look at Mary. She's not stirred up. She's not tore up because she's right exactly where she needs to be. She's chosen the good part. Martha, instead of us getting in on what you're doing, why don't you come over and get in on what I'm doing? Because that's the best way. And you know what? That is a wonderful lesson that the Lord would have for us to get a hold of. It's something that we need to receive continually. But let me say this. At the beginning of this season, at the beginning of this time of year, we need that as much as we ever will. Because it's about to get busy. You think about Christmas, and I love Christmas. I'm thankful for this time of year. I'm thankful to be around people that I love, a church family that I love. I'm thankful that I have a job and a home and all those things. I'm thankful that my Savior left the perfect place of heaven and came to this earth in the form of the flesh. And He died in my place and He died in your place. And He didn't just die, but He rose from the grave. I'm thankful for that. And it's a good time of year. But when we look and we set off in this time of year to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we step back and look at all the things that take place in every aspect of our life, not just at work, not just at home, not just at church, but all different places. We do so many things. We go shopping. We go out and we buy people stuff, and then we find out people are buying us stuff, and then we got to go buy them stuff, amen. Ren and says, such and such bought something for us. Now we got to go get something for them. And so we're going back and forth and to and fro. And then we think about parties that we go to. Sometimes we have parties at work and parties with different people. We got gatherings with our family. So many different things, and we've got to work, and we've got ministry, and we've got all these different things that are set before us. And they're not bad things. They're good things. But the problem is that we can set off headlong into serving other people, into doing these things, and somehow or another we leave Jesus behind. We turn around and we say, what am I doing? I'm starting to get drug around here. I'm starting to get pulled down. And what am I doing? And why am I doing it? Where's the Lord at? And we look back and he's underneath some to-do list or some tradition or something. And we forgot all about him. And therein lies the problem. See, we can leave having the Christmas spirit and pick up a wrong spirit. And when the thing about it is, we need the Holy Spirit to touch us and to empower us and to help us to do these things that God has set before us to do that are going to be a blessing not only to us, but to other people. It's not just about us, it's about others. And so we think about this and we realize that we can go about some good things the wrong way. And here's the thing that we need to do. Before we start serving, we need to start sitting. We need to sit down at the Lord's feet and glean what we need to glean before we go out and do what we need to do. And let me say this to you. It's not something that just happens. We find the secret there in verse number 42, and it says this, but one thing is needful, here it is, and Mary hath chosen that good part. It just doesn't happen, folks. It requires a choice. And we'll start out this season today, if I'm not mistaken, is December the 1st. And we've seen a list on the screen. We've got a list in our notebooks and we've got a schedule and we'll head out and look at all those things and there'll be all these different choices. But we can only take one. And that needs to be the best choice. And that choice is the Lord. When God created us, He gave us the ability to make a choice. We have a free will. But here's the message tonight. The choice is yours. What are you going to choose? I want us to look with the help of the Lord at three choices that we see here in this text. And if we'll let the Lord speak to us, I believe we'll make the right choice. Number one, I want us to look at the choice Martha made to serve. The Bible says in verse number 40, "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving." Listen, it wasn't her choice to serve that was wrong. That wasn't what it was. It was her choice to start. She didn't start at the right time. There's nothing wrong with serving. Serving's good. I believe it was Joshua that said, "Choose you today who you're going to serve." We got to make that choice. That's what God wants us to do. But when we start, that makes all the difference in the world. Because we can get frustrated, we can get stirred up by trying to do what we need to do before we are who we need to be. What do you mean by that, Brother Chris? Because we'll try to put that effort, we'll try to engage in all these things before we're empowered and directed and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we'll go out and try to do a multitude of things and we won't be successful at very much of any of it unless the Lord's with us, leading us and guiding us, direct us. Does that make sense to you tonight? See, we get this throughout the Scripture. This is what Jesus taught us. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. That's where we have to start. And we see it in the lives of people. We see it in the prophet Elijah, how he had to get alone at the brook with God before he went out and started doing his ministry. The apostle Paul had to go into Arabia and get alone with God before he went to Jerusalem and met with the apostles. I like what Dr. John Phillips said. He said he went into Arabia and he had the book of Isaiah and the book of Psalms and the book of Genesis. But when he came out, he had the book of Ephesians, he had the book of Philippians, and he had the book of Romans. Why? Because he got alone with God. And we look at the disciples. How before that they were going to go out and do the great work that God commissioned them to do, He told them to wait there in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came down and filled them and empowered them. And even Jesus safeguarded His ministry. He took time to be still and to get in solitude and be with the Father before He would go out and do what He was supposed to do. And Martha was missing this. We don't know what Martha's motive was. We don't know if Martha felt obligated to do this work. We don't know if somebody came over and said, "Martha, listen, this is what you need to be doing." If she thought that that's what somebody wanted her to do, if she was trying to gain some kind of merit with the Lord. You said, that's kind of weird. Listen, we do the same thing sometimes. Well, if I do this, and I do this, and I do this, then I'm going to please the Lord, and I'm going to have His blessing upon me. I think Pastor said it the other day. He said this, and I hadn't thought about it in a long time. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. The Lord doesn't want all our work. He wants us. He wants us to get alone with Him. He wants us to spend time with Him. And we don't know Martha's motivation, but we know this, it sure affected her mission. Because when our motive's wrong, our mission can be wrong. And if we're doing what we want to do, or if we're doing what somebody else expects us to do, and we're going about it the wrong way, listen, we might not do the thing that's right, or we might do something that we don't need to be doing in the first place. And then when our motive and our mission's wrong, guess what happens? Then our manner gets wrong. Something's not right in here, and if it keeps festering up, it leaves from in here and starts coming out right here, and then everybody's not happy, amen? And so we need the Lord. I want to say this before I go further. Listen, you never find it in the Bible where Jesus was in a hurry. Jesus was always busy, but he was never in a hurry. From the age of 12, the Bible says that he was about his Father's business. He was pulled here and he was pulled there. He'd be walking down the road and he'd hear, "Jesus, Son of David," and he'd stop and he would help that person. But his disciples said, "Lord, we need to be doing this." And he said, No, we really don't. We need to go over here. No, we really don't. And when you look there in John chapter number 17, in the high priestly prayer to the Father, he said this in verse number 4, "I have done everything that you have told me to do." You know what? We think so many times there's just not enough time to do everything I need to do. But listen to me, there's enough time for us to do everything God wants us to do. And we see here that Martha made the church choice to serve. Number 2, Mary made the choice to sit. Jesus made a comparison between Martha and Mary. He said, "Look over here, Martha. Look at Mary. She's chosen the good part. She's taken the right part. She's not being hindered like you are. Look, she's over here getting helped." And I started looking at that word part there. And it actually means portion. A portion. So it's like Martha had been serving and she was putting all these things on the table and laying all these things out. And Jesus said, "Martha, all this stuff's laying out here. All these different dishes. But I want you to notice, Mary's chosen the best dish." And Martha might have been thinking, "She's not got a plate." Oh, but she had a plate full. You said, "Brother Chris, what was on her plate?" I believe she had some of that bread of life, amen. I believe that she was being nourished and she was being fed. And I believe that it might not look like much to the world, but it was more than enough for Mary, amen. And I want to say this to you. We need that bread every so often. We need to get some of that. We need to eat some of that. Because when we have that, that satisfies our longing. We don't have to put everything else in. We don't have to do everything else to get satisfied. We have enough in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe she had a cup of that living water. I believe it was springing up. I believe Martha might have come by and tried to pour something in her cup. She put her hand over it. She said, "I don't need anything else. My cup's running over. I've got everything I need here at Jesus' feet." See, that's where it's at. And that's where we need to be. But see, listen. All that doesn't come from working. All that comes from one of the hardest things to do, and that's waiting. But Listen, waiting is not wasted time when we're waiting on the Lord. I believe she was doing some things when she was waiting. Number one, I believe she was looking at Jesus when she was waiting. And where you sit and look at Jesus makes all the difference in your situation. I believe Martha was standing back serving, looking at Jesus, and when she saw Jesus, she saw a safety net like we do so many times. She saw somebody that she wanted to get her out of that situation and fix it just like that. But that's not who Mary saw, because Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. You say, "Brother Chris, who did Mary see?" I believe Mary saw her Redeemer. I believe she saw her Deliverer. When she was in sin, when she was lost, when she was out, the one that came and loved her soul and would pay the price for her that she might be saved. I believe she saw the one that adopted her into the family of God. I've been listening to that primitive quartet song, "I'm No Longer an Orphan," amen. I love that song. The words of it, he said, "I was alone and there was nobody that loved me. But Jesus came by one day and he loved me and I trusted him and he brought me into the family of God." Do you remember that day? Do you remember those times before Christ and how it was? and how much better it was when Jesus came. I believe she saw the one that purchased her on the auction block. When nobody else wanted her, he wanted her. She saw her Savior. She saw her sacrifice. And I believe that while she was waiting, she wasn't only looking, but she was listening. And she was hanging on every word that came out of his mouth. Isn't it a wonderful place to be when God starts speaking to you? And you're so in tune with him, and it's like he's in tune with you, and you're just hanging on every word. And every word that was coming out of her mouth, it was strumming the heartstrings of her heart. She was in tune with him. And every word that was coming out, it was healing the burdens in her soul. And every word that was coming out, it was finding the hidden secrets in her heart. And every word that was coming out seemed like it was answering every question that she had in her heart. And every word that was coming out, it was helping her. And she was right where she needed to be. Friend, don't you know that's where we have to be? It's not a matter of take it or leave it, because it's that. We'll leave it every time. We've got to be there at his feet, looking at him and listening to what he has to say. So many times I've gone into the closet with questions. Whether it was pastoring, whether it was working a job, and there was something that I could not figure out, that I could not do on my own, and I needed some help. And I've got quiet, and I've sat still, and I've opened my Bible. And he never failed. Every time he came back, and sometimes it was clearer than other times, but he told me exactly what I needed to do. I remember it was a month ago, and my job was turned upside down. I knew the Y was looking for a new cleaning company, that the one I worked for just wasn't working out. I didn't know what was going to happen, when it was going to happen. I didn't know if I should say something, what I should do. And I got along with God. And he brought that scripture to my mind, to be as harmless as doves and wise as serpents. He said, be meek, but be weary. Watch what's going on, but don't say anything. And you know what? That was the right instruction. And this was what Mary did. She looked, she listened, but you know what else she did? And I believe this is where we fail. She leaned. We've got a whole lot of learning going on in the house of God, but we don't have as much leaning. And that's what we need. Because we can look, we can sit in the right place, and if we're not careful, it can go in one ear and out the other. But when we start leaning on the Lord and letting him have his way, that's when things begin to pick up. We need God to help us. And here, let me give you the last thing, and I'm finished. But this is my favorite point right here. There's another choice, and this was the choice Jesus made to stop by. And I want to tell you, if you get a hold of this, it will dictate every choice that you'll ever make, is when we realize that Jesus stops by. And it's a wonderful thing when he stops by. When he stops into a community and changes the community. When he steps into a church and his presence is so real and people are getting saved and people are getting helped. When he comes into a home and changes everything that's going on. But I want to tell you, the best place is when he comes into your closet. When you're there waiting on him. When you're there looking for him, when you need him and he's faithful and he comes in, and he comes in so many different ways. He comes in sometimes as the creator. And we think about Jesus being the creator. We think about him being God and creating everything. And I believe so many times we can miss something in that. Because people say, why did God create man? Well, you got to look at God. The Bible says so much about God, but the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 4, God is love. And that's taken out of context so much in these last days by liberals and people that want to use it and turn it in the wrong direction. But God is love. And what good is love unless you can express that love? And so God made man so that he could not only express that love, but that love could be reciprocated back to God. And what does it mean if you just say that you love somebody and it's all words with no deed? So God created man, and God gave man a commission. He said, I want to put you in this garden, this perfect place, and you can have all of this, as much of it as you want. I want you to work the garden, and there's one thing that I don't want you to do. I don't want you to eat of the fruit of this tree. You can do all of this. All of this is for you. All of this is from me. I love you. Just don't do that. And you know what? Adam submitted. He looked at what God had given him. He did what God told him to do. And if you think about it, he had no reason to do otherwise. God had been nothing but good to him. Everything God had told him was right. Everything God said to him that he did, it was good. And he had no reason to do wrong. Just like us. Have we ever had a reason to do anything other than what God said? But you know, the circumstances changed. And he was challenged by the enemy. And he made the wrong choice. And he sinned against God. Which brings us to the other person that Jesus is when he steps by. He's the Savior. See, God could have left him out there hiding in the trees, covering up his sin with his apron. But you know what? God decided to come back and stop by. And he came back and he was looking for Adam. And he called out his name. Don't you love it when you hear God get a hold of you and speak to you and he has your undivided attention, and he called him out by name. And then he made a covering for Adam. He said, Adam, he said, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to take care of this sin. I'm going to give a remedy for it. He made a covering for Adam. And then he challenged Adam. And he continued with Adam. And I want to say this, and I'm finished. This is what stirs me up the most about when the Lord stops by. Because I'll get up some mornings, and I'll go to Him, and I'll get down, and I'll start talking to Him. And I'll ask Him to forgive me of my sins. And some of them that I've gone back and asked Him to forgive me, it seems like 100 times. And there's no reason in the world that she should ever come back and talk to me. There's no reason why he should ever come back and look in my direction. But I'm thankful that his mercies are new every morning. And he just shows up and stops by one more time. And it's the greatest thing that can happen in our life. But we got to make that choice. And I believe there's no greater choice than we can make is to choose the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we start out in this season, all the things that are set before us, before we dive into them, we need to get at Jesus' feet, get the direction, get the encouragement, get the touch of God before we endeavor to do all these blessed things that God has given us to do. Pastor, I'm finished.